Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 6.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Brothers, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to our broadcast today and being part of the discussion. Today we're going to touch on a topic that I was meditating on, and me and Pastor Lonnie Davis, we were talking about, and I think there's something we need to address as men, as husbands and fathers, because we have a generation coming up in the culture and in the body of Christ where with marijuana being legalized, being accepted, and a lot of things going on, and I think a lot of people are really being deceived by it. I mean, there's a lot of positive, but there's still a lot of negative. There's a lot of things going on. And I think we just have to, as Christian men and as husbands and fathers and leaders in the church and in the community, we have to have an answer to these things. We have to have a biblical answer. We have to have a moral answer, and even against what the culture is doing. Because there's one thing we're going to touch on today, but I want to remind every brother that's out there. There's two things that we have to remember, that marijuana is still illegal federally, and you still can get locked up for under the influence, a DUI, under the influence. So there's a lot of things going on here that's with the science and with medical, and then there's a lot of things where it's about money, because we're going to talk about some of that too. But anyway, I pray all is well with you and your family. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to also remind you, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we are live. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. You can get the link from our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, at our Twitter account, Issues Men's Talk. And also you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can get the link there for all of our past shows. We have we've been on the air. Well, we've been broadcasting and producing shows for about 6 years, so there's a lot of material we covered there in marriage, relationship, friendships, discipleships, a lot. We dealt with death. We deal with a lot of things. We deal with accountability and a lot of things that who we are as men and issues that we struggle with, just being men of God and living this Christian walk out and being examples and how we ought to lead in the home, the church, and in the community. Amen. I'm going to open a prayer, then we're going to get right into the conversation this morning. Amen. Father God, first of all, God, I want to thank you, Lord. I thank you for a new day, for a new opportunity, Lord God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of men. We thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people, God, in the church body as a whole. Father, we ask you to continue to touch us, guide us, and direct us, God. Father, today is a day we pray for wisdom and discernment. In the midst of an evil and dying culture, Lord God, we ought to be salt and light. So help us, God. Help us to be the salt and light you created us for. Father, I pray for every man today, oh God, no matter what he's going through, his trials, temptations, and struggles, God, I ask, God, today you would touch their lives, God. You would set them on the right path, God, that you would speak into their hearts and minds, oh God, that they would know the truth of you and have the hope that you give all of us, oh God, as our faith in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we say thank you right now, God. God, we ask you to continue, God, to use your body of Christ today. We pray for leaders and elders and those who minister, do ministry and teach and preach and encourage and hold each other accountable, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for again, God, for our families, for wives and children, Lord God, that God, they would prosper, oh God, in the things of God, God, that you would use us, oh God, to teach and disciple and mentor those around us, oh God. And brother, and we thank you for our brothers that we're connected with, that we're connected, our circle of influence, those brothers that hold us accountable, and those who we hold accountable, those who we pray for and pray with, Lord God. So we ask, God, you continue to strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. So today, again, in this episode, we're going to be talking about marijuana and the born-again believer. Here, this is Christian Men's Talk, and we're going to touch on a lot of things. Praise the Lord. Pastor Lonnie Davis, sir, can you hear me? Good morning.
Yes, I can.
Amen, brother. Yes, thank you again. Amen. Thank you again for taking time out and being part of this discussion today. And hopefully we can share something that will encourage some brothers out there, give some fathers some insight as they speak to the generation coming up behind us, that it's not all fun and games and recreational. But we're going to talk about a lot of things. Because there's so much in the research. I know we talked previously, and we talked about the research and a lot of things that's out there. But still, like I say, we talk about what does it mean? Because we're going to talk about two separate things, because I believe there's two separate things when we're talking about marijuana. In this generation and time, that we know about medical marijuana has been approved for use for some sicknesses, diseases, a lot of things. But also, truth be told, we know that getting a medical marijuana card is easy. It's like getting a bus pass right now because of the manipulation, the lies, and I believe the deceit of what the devil is doing. Because remember who the devil is. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And a lot of that is crossing over. And in the body of Christ, we have to have wisdom and discernment in what's really going on. So, again, and I want to give a disclaimer, bro. Two disclaimers I want to give. First of all, this is research we've done. I'm not a professional. I'm not a drug counselor. I'm not a certified drug counselor. But in transparency, I know what it is to smoke some weed, have smoked weed, to haven't smoked any weed since like the 80s, I think it was the last time. But, you know, who knows? But that's the thing. It was different. It was a different perspective, and it's a different mindset than what we have now. And then also, we got to remember who we are in Christ as men of God, because there's prohibitions on our life. There's things we should be abstaining from. So that's why we're going to talk today. We're going to talk about medical and recreational, because a lot of folk think it's okay because anything from decriminalized to legalized. But who are we as where's the church and the men of God stand when it comes to the moral issues and living in obedience to God in all of that? So that's why hopefully we can touch on some of that. And again, I encourage the brothers, if you got the text link for this, you got the link off our Facebook page. You know, if you called in online, you press one on your keypad, we can bring you into conversation, you can ask a question or whatever. And as always, you know, brothers, if, and again, I want to say, too, if you received the text and got the link for this broadcast on your text, you know, you can call us back because I think we're going to be doing a couple, we're going to do at least one more. Because there's a lot of material here, and I know Pastor Davis has a lot of information he wants to share in from his background and things, but I'm going to let him introduce himself, and then we're going to go right in, sir. So, Pastor Davis, if you would, introduce yourself to the audience, and then we're going to jump right in.
Yeah. I'm Reverend Lonnie J. Davis, Sr. I used to have a drug problem with heroin. I was a heroin addict, but my gateway drug was marijuana. It was Thai pot in Thailand. And the pot opened me up, or marijuana, opened me up to smoking hash and smoking opium, and then I started smoking heroin. So I used to call it a gateway drug. It opens your mind up because you're not sober-minded, and it messes with your sobriety, your normal way of thinking, and it opens you up to other drugs. So that's when I started my research, believing that marijuana, cannabis, is a gateway drug. Now, with that out of the way, there's political, scientific, and religious interpretation when it comes to us and marijuana. The political, as long as they can get tax money from it, like they did with prohibition against alcohol, they will legalize it so that they can get money. In America, it's all about the dollars. In Iran, they worship Allah. In America, they worship dollar. The scientific evidence has not come out totally, and the FDA has just started approving certain marijuana, cannabis oils and all of that for medicinal purposes. The recreational purposes, like Deacon Farr said, it's still illegal on a federal agenda, but in certain states, they've gone against the federal law, and they've made it legal in certain states for money. And it's all about the money. So the FDA just approved recently one of the ingredients that's in marijuana, which is a purified form of marijuana, for medicinal purposes. For example, some children and some people have epilepsy. They found out that once they give them marijuana or cannabis oils or foods, things that they can eat and consume, it would interact in their brain to cause them not to have epileptic seizures. And once I start doing a biblical or religious research on marijuana, I start finding out that there are ingredients in scripture that have been renamed to use the word calamus. And the word calamus was replaced with the word cannabosin, which meant healing oil. It was one of the ingredients in Exodus for healing oil. Well, that really blew my mind right there when I found out that the interpretation of the Greek and Aramaic interpretation of the word cannabis and calamus is almost the same word. And so in interpretation or translation, the word can be misquoted or misidentified. So the core issue in our conversation is marijuana, the question is marijuana really biblical for Christian use? The subcategory would be, from my point of thinking, is your mental state and sobriety. And I'm going to approach it from a humility perspective, and I would like to read John 8 and what Jesus had to say about something about being able to judge certain things. In verse John 8:15, this is Jesus talking. talking to the Pharisees. You judge according to the flesh. So that's an emotional connection, the flesh, your five senses. So a lot of us, especially when you're talking about marijuana or things, people going to talk from an emotional perspective. Like if they want to justify it in their belief system, they will justify it. And they'll find scripture to try to justify it, or non-scripture to try to say it's not talked about. You won't find marijuana in the Bible. And they'll talk about it like that. But we do find a lot of scripture talking about being sober-minded, that your body is the temple of the living God. And as Christians, we are called to a higher calling in this world. And this is Jesus talking. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Then later on in here, he talks about talking about the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So our belief system is what's going to cause us to open up the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of discernment to discern truth from falsehood. And that's where I want to lead it back to Deacon Farr to discuss. So I just introduced myself and use scripture to support where I'm coming from.
Amen, brother. I appreciate you, man. But, yeah, we're going to go in because you're right. There's a lot of things. I mean, I want to talk about, I want to reach out and talk and touch on the first of recreational, because I think that's the biggest thing. The medical thing, the medical use of marijuana and all, and I understand that. Like you said, there's some research where it's effective in certain diseases and certain applications, but you say, it's not all complete because, you know, this is just a recent thing. But that's fine because again, we got Percocets, we got Oxycontin, there's a whole bunch of others. There's morphine out there. So I'm not, the medical thing, we have to, you know, we all at a certain place when it comes to the medical. But I want to start with the recreational and the morality, who we are as Christians, and when it comes to when the government and the culture makes it acceptable now, where do we fall with it? And for the generation coming behind us, because now, my parents, you know, we can't stand as parents and leaders in the church and as mature saints and tell the generation behind us don't do something that's now illegal. Because truth be told, we still got folk in the church who drink regular. And I mean, they don't drink wine. They drinking 100 proof. They drinking whatever. So that's to right. Be clear and understand what we're saying here, we're talking about the recreational and the morality of getting involved with using, well, I keep thinking, I'm trying to get my fix my mind around smoking weed, but it's also edibles. There's also a lot of things out there they're selling weed just straight by the gram to be smoked or whatever, but there's also edibles out there, and there's a lot of things going on that the Christian, we need to judge it. We need to think it through and use wisdom in what we're doing. And then, well, how are we going to, again, teach the generation coming behind us? Because trust me, anybody out there who has anyone under 25, you want to talk to them about marijuana, it don't come off the same as when we were, the generation previously, because it's going to be legal. I think it's up to 30 states now. And like I said in the beginning, in the opening, the feds, is still illegal in the feds. You still can go to federal prison for marijuana, okay? That's the first thing I think we should tell our young people. You can get locked up federally. You carry walking around with a pound, half a pound of marijuana, okay? So, because that's the greatest thing I think as a church that we have to be able to talk to our young people about. Because you can't be in violation and expect that there's not consequences. I think that's really the thing, because the way it's being portrayed is it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it, and everybody's not doing it, and it is a big deal. So let's talk about ingested marijuana, you know, because, you know, a lot of people want to justify the edible thing, and that's not smoking, it's eating it or whatever. But I think that the effects are the same, because when we're talking about being intoxicated, being out of our mind, because the Bible calls us to be sober-minded.
I'm on the radio.
It calls us to be sober-minded. It calls us to be in a place where, you know, we are alert, and that we have all of our faculties so that we can be used by God. Because as men of God, as the body of Christ, you know, we ought to be in a place where now we are living lives and being examples. And I think that's a lot of what we have to do. So, but I'm gonna come back to you, Pastor, in a minute. It's like this. Let me ask. This is going to question that I'm going to jump off with. How does our decisions and how do we live make Jesus look good? Are we representing Christ in the right way in the things that we do? And I think that's where we need to start when we're talking about marijuana, the born again believer, how we handle it, and how we engage the culture when discussing it. Amen. Pastor Davis, are you there? Can you hear me, sir?
I'm still here, and I can hear you.
All right. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that was the question. How do we represent Christ in all of this when it comes to marijuana?
You know, I actually wrote down, first of all, you got to have scriptural support whenever you're talking to this younger generation with parallel issues about marijuana or anything else that may not be directly approached with a direct conversation about scripture. Then you got to determine that you personally are going to live out God's truth, meaning that you can't be a role model that is, let's say, even gluttony, overeating. You have the sin of gluttony, and you're trying to tell somebody not to smoke marijuana. I mean, all of us have some type of flesh that we have not overcome yet. And when we talk about our bodies being the temple of the living God, we got to recognize also that we represent Christ even by the foods we eat. So then I look at the word witchcraft, which means pharmakeia in the Greek, which talks about present-day pharmacy. It's talking about the drugs. So a lot of the drugs the old witches do, when the witch is over the pot and she's stirring the, man, when I say pot, I'm talking about the cradle with the fire under it, and she's making a potion. And so witchcraft lets us know that pharmakeia, pharmacies, are using plants and herbs to make medicines so that we can utilize, and the recreational part comes in when you abuse it for abuse. And so I have young people in my family, when I go to family events, that I can tell are high as I don't know what. They think smoking marijuana is good. I drive Lyft every now and then. And when they get in my car, they've got something they call skunk weed, and they smell like marijuana. And it permeates through their skin and through their clothing. So if they try to get a job interview, they can't even pass a marijuana test because their urine is going to come up negative. So how can they represent Christ and say they're a Christian when they can't even get employment? So they can have a degree.
Amen.
They can have a degree. They can have a bachelor's, a master's, or a PhD, and can't pass the drug test. So there's a lot of negativity associated with smoking marijuana.
Amen. Well, you know, these are all the things. These are the discussions we need to have. Because, like, I forgot all about that. Again. You know, there's a lot of you know, opportunities that you're going to be drug tested. And it's, again, just because it's not acceptable. It's not, because let me say it like this. Because we got to also look at the science. Because the science Like, Pastor, when you get a DWI, what do? They give you a breathalyzer. They pull you over. They give you a breathalyzer. They can tell how much alcohol is in your bloodstream. They don't have that technology yet for THC, and they don't have a standard on what's where people are high, where they are compromised. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Even that, because and then as we know, well, this is I know this from back in the day. You could smoke today, and you could test positive for at least 2 weeks, if not more. But
30 days,
you'll
yep.
test positive, but they don't have a way of gauging or measuring if you are if your abilities are being inhibited or how much THC is still in your bloodstream. You just pop positive. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of people, young people, don't understand that, and a lot of older people either. So, and let me say, I want to be clear when I'm talking to every brother that are listening, anybody who may listen to this later on. I've known people who smoke weed. I know 80-year-olds who smoke weed. I was raised, I'm originally from New York. I know adults. I know a bunch of people who smoke weed since 1969 and still smoke weed today and smoke weed to the day they die. So this is not a thing to me because weed was it was there. It was part of the environment. But in all that, I want to say that it's not that we're trying to be hypocritical or get on a pedestal. We want to give knowledge and understanding because I would tell the same thing to a brother who has a drinking problem. I would say the same thing to a brother who's trying to kick a coke habit, a heroin habit, or whatever it is. We have to live sober-minded. There's some things we have to abstain from. And just because the culture says it's acceptable, it goes back to there's a lot of other things the culture says acceptable. We have to make a stand as the body of Christ. And I agree with what you said. If we talk to the generation coming behind us, from our kids to our youth department to whatever, we have to come biblically on why they need to abstain from some things just because the culture makes it look acceptable, okay, and you follow in the crowd, because – again, what the culture is putting out there, what we see in media, and when it comes to marijuana, it's just like it acts like it's all okay and there's no consequences. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I think, what it really is. But again, in us as the body of Christ, there's some things we have to have a hard enough time. We have a hard enough time battling with temptations and trials and trying to live right. And then you want to throw in the mix, intoxication, getting high off of weed, and then again, I'll say this again. When at a point when you are getting high and now your inhibitions are dropping, it's easier for Satan to get into your mind. It's easier for you to be susceptible to his devices, to the temptations that we all deal with every day. What do you say, sir?
Oh yeah, I'm totally in agreement. Look, I started off saying that we've got to have parallel scriptures. We got to support. And that's why that sin is sin. There's no big sin and little sin. Homosexuality and adultery is sin. So whether you're homosexual, we try to look at people and judge. That's why I read John 8. We try to judge the sin, and we try to judge different people by what sin they get caught up in. So that's why I use gluttony as a sin, because a lot of us as Christians, are gluttonous. We eat more than we need, and we eat more than the doctor tell us we need to be eating. So we come up with high blood pressure, diabetes, and then we stop eating certain things once the doctor tells us to stop eating it. And so if I talk to my grandchildren, I ask them, as far as the culture, do you want to be a leader in the culture or you want to be a follower? It's your choice. You get to choose. A leader is going to show obstinacy. He's going to show that he can stay away from and not be influenced by the culture. And look, from a religious perspective and from a leadership perspective, as a pastor, if I tell you that I'm smoking weed and I get up in the pulpit, it's just like some pastor preach against homosexuality, then we find out they homosexual or they've been involved in homosexual activity. So they've been preaching from the pulpit, not really carrying out their calling and what they were chosen to do, they actually are not determined to live out the truth of God. As you said, Deacon Farr, that we want to be examples of Jesus Christ. So how can we live out being examples of Jesus Christ when we are performing sin, no matter which sin it is, and the world, the public, can see the sin? Now, there's certain sins that's in our minds, because Jesus said even the thought of it is sin. So he took it to a higher level. So once we recognize, for example, I used to, when I see a woman go by, in my mind would say, good God Almighty. So after I got mature, I started saying to myself, oh, what a beautiful woman God has made. Because once I put God in the equation, it helped my decision making. And I would say the same thing to marijuana smokers or anybody that wants to be an example of a true Christian. And I'm going to put that word true in front of it, or real Christian, because 80-some percent or 70-some percent of Americans profess being a Christian. And we know for a fact, without judgment, that the fruit they bear is not the fruit of Christianity.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You're listening, this is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Pastor Lonnie Davis. And today we're talking about marijuana and the born-again believer. And, you know, I'm going to come back to you now. I guess we prayerfully we stirred up the thinking in the minds of the brethren about recreational marijuana. So now I want to touch on a little bit about medical, because, you know, there's a lot going on about medical. But the thing I want to focus on is, you know, using it as for medicinal purposes, and like you said, with seizures, and there's a lot of other things there, because they have it for, I've read articles where they talked about chemo patients and cancer patients, you know, using smoking the marijuana, or even, I want to say smoking. It's the THC in it that helps them, you know, we all know what the munchies are, and helping to help their appetites that they may be able to eat after chemo, and what's the other one? Dialysis treatments, and they're using it, and they're ingesting it or smoking it to get to the THC levels will give them an appetite so they can keep food and eat food and hold it down. Okay, that's the research there is, it may work for some, it may work for others. Again, I want to go back to Percocet and Oxycontin. You know, those things were medical, but they were abused. And they can be abused, and that abuse can also kill and destroy families, lives, and our physical bodies. So when we're talking about marijuana and medical marijuana, I think it's a lot of it we have to, as the body of Christ, we have to be able to ask the questions, what is the intent of our heart when it comes to that? Because like I said, I already know, I can testify, I can get you some people, they got medical marijuana cards, they just got them. And they don't necessarily have no conditions. So we have to be mindful on that account, on that level of accountability also. I think it's the intent of our hearts. And every man is responsible for what he's thinking, what he's doing. I can't remember. I don't know if I was a full-fledged pothead or just a half a pothead. But if I knew I wanted to go back to smoking weed and I could go and get a medical marijuana card in the next couple of days, if chose to be. So for those people who have a history and now have been delivered from addiction, this can be a sign. This could be a gateway. This could be the cliff to send them back into the fight of the addiction when they were being delivered. You know what I'm saying? I may not be saying it right, but just say what I'm saying, sir. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, they've got, look, my whole point of writing the book called Overcoming Sin was to drug addicts. And the reason I wrote it was because I never really liked going to NA meetings, because while I was in the NA meeting, the Bible, you just touched on it. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when I went to the NA meetings, everybody was in there talking about how they used to be and what they used to do in addiction and it brought back all those memories. And some of them actually glorified the memory that they had associated with getting high. And I didn't want, so I used to always say, I don't like raising my hand, talking about I'm always going to be an addict. Because if I believe that Jesus can cure me of the disease of addiction, then Jesus can cure me, and I don't have to raise my hand and say I'm an addict, I'm always going to be an addict, and I've been 20 years clean, but I'm still an addict, and me falling is part of recovery. Me falling and reusing again is part of recovery. I didn't agree with that. I didn't agree with that type of thinking. Now, if it's a stepping stone to get clean, yes, you can utilize it as a stepping stone. But after you get clean and after you get mature as a Christian, you should have steps that free you of the disease of addiction. And marijuana smoke, some scientists say psychologically, is addictive. So, and by these young guys, you can look at them. They smoke every day. So it's got to be addictive. They can't wake up.
Well, you know, Pastor, they don't smoke every day. They smoke, wait a minute, they smoke every 2 hours. They hitting the pipe. They going back every, okay. No, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you. I want to interject. But we got folks who are smoking all day, every day, on the hour. They just, you know what I'm saying? So go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You're right on point. But that's why I brought it up. It's just like smoking marijuana. I mean, tobacco. Look. I learned in the 90s, I used to hear the tobacco companies were buying farms so that eventually they were going to be producing and selling and legalizing marijuana. So tobacco, marijuana, alcohol, anything in the United States that can make money, the politics of it, which is like when I think about D.C., I think about pharmacare. I think about witchcraft. I think about the spirit of witchcraft, and I think about the spirit of greed. They had a Wall Street movie called The Wolf of Wall Street when he said greed is good. That's how we can elect a president like Donald Trump, because our minds have been influenced by the evil in Washington, D.C., and the deceptive nature, as Deacon Farr said in the beginning of our conversation, the enemy is trying to deceive us to think that something that is evil is good, that a falsehood is truth. And we are getting caught up in this false imagery that man has created in our own minds. By legalizing marijuana, they've given us a false imagery that by not being, because the first thing Christians used to say, like Deacon Farr started the conversation on, is still illegal federally. So once it becomes legal federally, we're still going to have to be able to give them answers biblically.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bro, I agree. And man, brothers, those who are listening, those who called in, those who listen to the link, this is what we have to, as men of God, as the church, as born-again believers who believe the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, we have to have an answer. We have to have a what we believe and a why we believe. And when it comes to this issue, again, I mean, if we have the example here in American history. We have prohibition from, I forgot, it was illegal for 10 years. Then when they overturned it and everybody was running out to get distillery licenses. So now what do we have on the state levels? We have all these dispensaries, these farms, all this stuff is in place. So when, the flesh of man is weak and his heart and the heart is deceitful. It's going to change federally. It depends on the generation. Again, it goes back to a generation of people who's going to be in leadership, political power, political influence. When it becomes legal federally, it's about money. you're going to be able to buy. Just like right now, they're talking about menthol cigarettes and how it destroys people and how the menthol addicts people. What do you think when Newport, there's going to be a Newport marijuana, you can get 10 joints for $17. It's going to happen. So we're back at the same thing because, again, we have saints of God who are still drinking and still smoking. They just don't do it for 3 hours on Sunday. And, you know, they don't come to Bible study smelling like liquor or smoke. I'm just saying. amen. So this is about us as men of God and where we're going to stand as a church, as leaders, again, in church and home and the community, as husbands and fathers. How are we going to lead? How are we going to lead and be examples for those to come, for the church to come? Because the church has to set a standard. If the church doesn't have a standard, doesn't have an answer for these things, even in our evangelism, when we're out in the street, you know, we do street evangelism. I can walk into the neighborhood and see some young brothers sitting in the park in their car smoking some weed. I can go talk to them. I still can tell them about Christ. And then if that conversation comes up, I can still give them a biblical answer. That you have to have a renewed mind, and your mind's going to have to be renewed. Just because that's what separates us from who we are in Christ, that we are different, that we live in life differently, we're making different choices. So we're still abstaining from some things, but I just think we have to get to the place because I believe the way the culture is going, it's going to be a thing, and it's going to be like any other thing. But we have to have an answer. And then as fathers, we have to have an answer for our children. Because I know our children, you know, our children, everybody's child is obedient until they get to a certain age. Can you hear me, Pastor Davis?
Oh, yeah.
Every child is obedient until they get to a certain age. So we have to instill in them that we have to instill, the, what do we call it, counterculture. Because even if you have a child now in middle school or high school, they're being exposed. They have friends. They have parents of their friends. This thing is not a thing. So I believe we have to be on guard for it because, again, there's a mindset. They're being raised under a certain thing that is all normal. Because if we look at media, the music, and everything, it's all there. So what are we going to do as a church? As men of God, what are we going to do? And are we striving? I mean, I'm going to shift gears here, Pastor, because I don't want to do the whole show on chastisement and that. I want to go in now. I want to encourage the body of Christ because we have to be able to strive to be clear-headed, clear-thinking, that we can make clear decisions and speak clearly in our minds and understand who we are in Christ, that our minds are designed by God to know him, to love him, and to grow in affection for him, that we should avoid all these things that would undermine our minds. And that's where I think we have to be as men of God when we speak to each other, when we speak to the generation behind us, when we hold each other accountable, and as what we represent in the culture. What do you say, sir?
Oh, I got scripture to support just what you said. Proverbs 14:12, New King James Version says, "There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So the end result of all these things is death, because sin, the wages of sin is death. Then Romans 7:11, "For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me." So we're talking about the deception of the political nature in America to legalize marijuana. It deceives us, and it's going to slay us. It slay our word. It murders our evidence of being a true Christian. And then Romans 6:16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness?" So if you get up, like you said earlier, if you're smoking marijuana every day, you can't be sober-minded. And guess what? You're a slave to a plant of the earth called cannabis, marijuana.
Amen.
And so you're a slave, creational or medicinal. Because, look, the Bible clearly tells us that the things that you listen to and do every day. That's who you're a slave to.
Amen. And then let me say habits. I mean, you know, habits. There can be good habits and bad habits. So you're going to pick up the bad habits if you're continuously doing. And I think, brother, let me say this. Brothers, you know what? We all have to examine ourselves. Because, again, you know, me and Pastor Davis are talking. Again, this is encourage you now to consider who you are. Consider your life. Look in the mirror of the man that you are in Christ Jesus. And what are we doing to glorify him? You know, how are we promoting the life of Christ? What activities are we doing that we can lead others to Christ? Our lifestyle. This is about how are we representing Christ on earth? And this marijuana thing was just a linchpin, I believe, to prepare, because this is what's coming down. It's coming down the path, because we all know that the culture, we're spiraling into things. You know, there's so much going on in the culture now that it's just becoming norm. You know, there's a lot. I'm not going to get into it right now, but we see laws are being changed. No matter what side you're on, for better, worse, or whatever, but things are changing. And this is what man does. This is what, if we look at history, we look at world history, American history, it all changes attitudes and the way we see things. But the only thing that stays constant is the Word of God. And the Amen. Word of God is who we are and how we live. So all these political things and laws and cultural ideas, they're all going to shift and change, but who we are in Christ as men of God is determined where we go and how we lead our community. Because, again, and it's something else I want to say, because, you know, as men of God, we got to remember the church. We can't influence or hold people accountable for something they don't believe. But we have to know what we believe and why we believe it when we're given opportunity to speak and for people to hear us. Because I can't hold someone who's not a believer, a confessed born-again believer, I cannot hold them to a standard because they don't believe the standard. So when we talk to unbelievers, we talk to people who don't believe what we believe, we approach them differently. But this is why I don't smoke weed. This is why I don't drink. This is why I don't cheat on my wife. And if I'm a single brother, this is why I'm not out here chasing women and womanizing, because of what I believe. And then can we translate that and explain that to somebody given the opportunity? Because I believe the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Amen? So a lot of it is about who we are in Christ. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, I got 2 Corinthians 13:5, since you said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? Know that how that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you, except you be reprobates. And reprobate is talking about the mind, your thinking. If you have a reprobate in mind, you're not in Christ Jesus. So 2 Corinthians 13:5 tell us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. So what you just said goes right back to Scripture, telling us we need to examine ourselves, examine our own hearts to see if we are really being examples of Jesus Christ. And then Romans 21:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as you started off the conversation with that, us being not to be conformed to this world, that's where it's found, Romans 21:2. And a lot of times, man, we conform our churches, and that's why I don't call everybody a Christian. I call some people churchgoers, because they enter the church. They enter the church more than they enter Christ. So these churchgoers go there for the social experience. Their family grew up in the church. Their grandmother been in the church. And they go to church and don't even read the Word of God. So, you know, and they go on memory of what they memorize Scripture from what people say or the interpretation of their pastor. But the Bible tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's how we ought to be every day.
Amen. 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 You know, Pastor, I want to share some with the brothers when we talk about all the things we talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, gentlemen, you know, my name is Deacon Farr, and we've been doing this show here for a couple of years, and my guest today is Pastor Lonnie Davis, and we're talking about marijuana and the born-again believer. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the archive of our previous shows and also get the link here. We have a Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. We ask you to come and join us and follow us there. If you have any men's events coming up, we in July now, so we halfway through the year. I see men's events popping up. We have a consistent men's Bible study on Saturday mornings at 10 in Glen Burnie. I know another consistent men's Bible study is on Mondays at 7:30. You can text me. I can get you the address, get you the contact information for the men's pastors there, and you can. There's a place for you to go, for you to connect with other brothers and be connected. And then also, I encourage you, brothers, we're back to face-to-face, in-person service. Let's get the men's ministries back up. Let's get men's Bible studies back up, men's prayer. Let's just draw the men, call the men, put a call out to our men to get back in place, to get back as watchmen on the walls, to move forward in the things of God. This whole episode for the last 2 years, enough is enough. Everything is open. But church needs to get back to the business of being the church, of fulfilling the Great Commission, for reaching the lost, for serving the lost, for mentoring, discipling, encouraging one another, and holding each other accountable to the things of God. It is time. It's time. Amen? Because, again, you know, it's something that's always being preached. If we preach that Jesus is coming, that we see the signs and we see it, then why are we not sharing the gospel that every soul might save? Or we just don't care. We don't have enough love for people that we're going to leave them here to come under the wrath of God. Because when Jesus comes back, he's coming as a lion. You had a shot with the lamb. When he comes back, he's coming back with judgment. He's coming back with wrath, and it ain't going to be pretty for the unbeliever. So why wouldn't we share the gospel that someone might be saved from the wrath to come? Amen? Pastor Davis, I'm coming to you for closing remarks and prayer, but I wanted to share this with the brothers. When we're talking about marijuana, we're talking about alcohol, we're talking about drug abuse, we're talking about recreational, medical, whatever it is, we have to ask ourselves a couple questions. Will it promote the cause of Christ? Will this activity lead me and others to treasure Jesus above all else? Will it help me fight the fight of faith with a commitment to glorify him in all things? Will it sharpen and intensify my knowledge of Christ, commitment to glorify him? These are the things we ask as men, as husbands and fathers, for those who will be discipling, those that are mentoring, those that are mentoring us, our whole community of church connected, who's in our circle of influence. These are the questions we must ask ourselves. So, men, again, we have to consider, because whatever's going on in the culture, there's an answer in the Word of God. There's an answer in Scripture, and we should be the salt, and we should be the salt and the light, and we should be the truth that someone would, just so we could save someone's life. One thing I always say to hear Issues Christian Men's Talk: all of us were created with purpose. All of us, as born to being believers, consider this: there may be just one soul that will only hear the truth of Jesus Christ and the hope of Christ from you. Not from your pastor, not from the TV evangelist, not from your bishop, not from your whatever. It's you as a believer that you can speak to them and they will hear it that would save their soul. Amen? Pastor Davis, I appreciate you, brother. We're going to do this again because there's so much more we want to stir up in the brothers when it comes to this marijuana and addictions. But we're going to do some more of these. And prayerfully, and just encourage the brothers. But brother, I'm gonna give it to you. Your closing remarks, and you can close out in prayer if you would, sir.
Sure. There's three steps of testing a paradigm. Number one, a paradigm defines success in your life. So as a Christian, we should define success in our lives by the Bible and by the living Christ that's working within us and being guided, guarded, and governed by the Holy Spirit. Number two, a paradigm defines the rules of the game in your life. So the Bible defines how we should act as followers of Jesus Christ. And number three, a paradigm sets boundaries in your life. Now, I think abstinence from marijuana and other drugs is setting a boundary in your life. You need to make a decision that you're going to exemplify Jesus Christ to those who are observing you. People in your family are watching you. They're observing how you live, not what you say, because it's easy to talk that talk, but it's harder to walk that walk. Now, as long as we are walking that walk, it says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of things that we could have talked about today. We could have battered those who smoke marijuana. We could have talked bad about sin even more than we did. But if we would like to encourage those who may be involved in marijuana smoking or ingesting, whether medicinal or recreational, that they go into prayer and pray for guidance through your Holy Spirit, that they open up the Word of God for themselves to be sober-minded and to walk in the Spirit so that they would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And for Deacon Farr and myself, Lord, I just want to thank you for Deacon Farr and his Christian men's ministry and the way he's taken on a leadership role in the body of Christ for men. And Lord, allow us to be able to touch somebody either today as we spoke or in the future if somebody tunes in to listen to this message. Lord, I asked you that James 4:10, that you say that if a man humbles himself in the sight of the Lord, you will lift him up. You will exalt us. You will edify us. You will build us up. Lord, build us up in your word and let your word guide, guard, and govern us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray for those who are smoking marijuana, the young people in this culture and this generation, that we may be living examples and models for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
We kneel and we say, Jesus.
Our body, we